it is difficult, but every one of these passages divides and subdivides a dozen times before you go 100 yards. They had descended some 20 feet from the level of the byre, and they were standing now in a square chamber cut out of the soft tufa. The lantern cast a flickering light bright below and dim above over the cracked brown walls. In every direction were the black openings of passages which radiated from this common center. "I want you to follow me closely, my friend," said Berger. "Do not loiter to look at anything upon the way, for the place to which I will take you contains all that you can see and more. It will save time for us to go there direct." He led the way down one of the corridors, and the Englishman followed closely at his heels. Every now and then the passage bifurcated, but Berger was evidently following some secret marks of his own, for he neither stopped nor hesitated. Everywhere along the walls, packed like the berths upon an emigrant ship, lay the Christians of old Rome. The yellow light flickered over the shriveled features of the mummies, and gleamed upon rounded skulls and long white arm bones crossed over fleshless chests. And everywhere as he passed, Kennedy looked with wistful eyes upon inscriptions, funeral vessels, pictures, vestments, utensils, all lying as pious hands had placed them so many centuries ago. It was apparent to him, even in those hurried passing glances, that this was the earliest and finest of the catacombs, containing such a storehouse of Roman remains as had never before come at one time under the observation of the student. "What would happen if the light went out?" he asked as they hurried onwards. "I have a spare candle and a box of matches in my pocket. By the way, Kennedy, have you any matches?" "No. You had better give me some." "Oh, that's all right. There's no chance of us separating. How far are we going? It seems to me that we have walked at least a